I'm back in the office and it's time to talk about what it takes to win. Race drivers, this is Enzo with the Race Driver Coach Show and it's so good to be back. It's so good to be back in the UK in the office to talk to you in this normal surrounding, not in the front of a car in the dark like what I had to do last week, but this time we're back to as normal. I don't feel quite normal. I feel absolutely shattered. And I feel shattered because we've just done 11 days of wrapping up two championships with a win, which was two wins, which is quite amazing in F4 with Ollie Bearman. If you follow, you know that we've been going around doing two campaigns, which is really difficult, the German and the Italian F4, and we wrapped them up, or Ollie wrapped them up this week. So we went away for 11-day jaunt. First of all, to Monza. Then immediately from Sunday, we went on Monday morning, or Sunday night actually, went to Valencia for his first ever F3 test. So we did 3 days of F3 testing in Valencia, and then straight to Nürburgring, where we competed for the final of the German F4 championship, and he won that as well in Nürburgring. So it was, oh man, I can't even explain how difficult this was. To win one championship is difficult. To win two, I don't know. There's not a word that describes how hard it is. Which kind of and absolutely sets up what I want to talk to you about as a race driver or a wannabe race driver, and what you need to do in order to win. Because these 11 days, right, that were intense. And actually before that, Ollie was also doing the Autosport Award. So he had to do 2 days at Silverstone being tested in an LMP3 car, an Aston Martin GT3 car, and an old F2 car. And obviously this is a big prize in England. Four British drivers get chosen for it. And it was the big shootout, the final, for like a £200,000 prize, which is really great, put on by Aston Martin, so all brilliant. So he did that, then he did a race weekend, then straight to the test for 3 days, and then onto the next race weekend. So not one day did he have off. He was in a car every single day. Five different cars in 11 days. Now, to some people, or a lot of people watching this, you think, that's a dream. I would love to do that. That's just, I can easily do that. If you told me I had to race and test and compete in five different cars every 11 days, I would be in my element, which is true, which is great. But still, it was so hard because there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of politics this year, people throwing things at us and giving us challenges that we didn't need to make the job even more difficult. And talent alone won't get you over that hill. So what I want to really talk to you about today is your dedication to your craft. Now, for a driver, just like Ollie did, you know, he's dedicated his whole life. He's left school early. His parents allowed him to leave school early to say, if you want to really chase this dream of being an F1 driver, then okay, get your GCSEs done, fine, but go. After that, you go and give it everything you've got because you're only young once. And this is your opportunity. This is your window. So parents out there that might be watching this, if you've got a kid and you've got the resources to help them and they want to be a race driver and they've got the talent to do it, let them do it. Give them a shot. They can always come back to education. Education is there forever. You can be a mature student. You can go back to university at 30 years old. But racing, if they want to do F1, they can't really go back to that at 30 years old. So you might as well let them get it off their chest. Give it everything they've got. Let them prove to you over 3, 4, 5 years, 2 years, whatever you give them, to show you that they can do it, or show themselves that they can do it. So at least then you've given them the chance. That's if you've got the resources. If you know that your child, because I was in this situation when I was 16, 17, I wanted F1. My parents allowed me. My dad was kind of like, are you sure? My mom was like, go for it. So I just did go for it. And I'm so glad because now I'm a coach and I'm doing what I love. I teach drivers. A bit like Ollie Bearman, the Lawsons of the world, the Richie Stanaways, the Esteban Ocons, all the people I've worked with. There's hundreds of drivers. I say thousands, but it might be. And their parents had all had something in common, which was, okay, we're going to let this driver go off and do their bit. And if it fails, there'll probably still only be about 20 or 21 or 22. They can still fall back and go to a career, education, and do other stuff. But if I don't let my child now go and do this, the ramifications of that, the regret, how the relationship will be, because you held them back, and they'll be looking at you as the person that wouldn't allow them to live their lives that they wanted to. Is that what you want for your child? So everybody who's watching this, who's kind of related and can relate to this, if you're the person that's going for it and wants to go for it, and you're young and you're saying, right, this is a career I want, then I want you to completely spend yourself like we just did over the last 11 days. I can't even talk. I'm that exhausted. But if you're a parent, let your child go for it. Give them an ultimatum. Okay, son, daughter, I'll give you 2-3 years to prove and see how far you can get. And if you haven't achieved what you set out in that time frame, then come back and do the normal plan of education and blah, blah, blah. And go and be a solicitor, an accountant, whatever it is you want your child to do. That's that put to bed. But to all the drivers out there, I want to give you an insight of what just took place over the last 11 days. Jumping from country to country, competing in 2 races on Sunday, and then flying to a different country on that night, getting there, it's like 20 to 1 in the morning. Just realize this is what happened. We did the Italian F4. He won all 3 races, by the way, at Monza. Not bad show. Didn't really have the straight line speed that he needed to win at Monza, but he still did it in the dry and the wet. Showed he was pretty much the best driver on the grid, or one of, with a good team as well, obviously, because you need the car there. Then we flew to Valencia, and it was 20 to 1 in the morning when we arrived. Got to the airport, to the hotel, probably, I don't know, 1:30. Quickly slept, back at the circuit at 7, testing an F3 car for the first time in his life, and has to be on his game. Doing that for 3 days intensive, and quickly flying back to another race weekend, straight into FP1, and guess what? He was straight up there again. Now, this doesn't mean that he's supremely talented more than everyone else on the grid, but he bloody is up there, I'll tell you. What it does mean is that he's hungry. He's not worrying about the things about what could happen. I'm not really feeling like I've got the energy. I've got all these excuses that I've been working so hard. I've done a race, I've done a test, and now I'm going to the race. So maybe my energy levels are down. Not talking himself down and having excuses for why he can't perform. Didn't fall for that. Instead, we approached this whole thing, and he doesn't even know this, by the way. Oliver Behrmann doesn't even know I did this, because it's just one of the little twisted games I play, by the seeds that I plant in a driver. But instead of just saying we're going to do enough, instead of just helping the driver think that, you know, oh, I'm in a car again, instead, we have a different goal. It's not to win the championship. Our goal, subliminally, is to be the best driver in the world. So you rate the Lewis Hamiltons, the Max Verstappens right up there, right? But it's a case of, okay, if I'm a junior, if I'm just starting, even if you're not even, you haven't even raced yet, you're just watching this in your room and you're wishing you could race, you don't know where to start. It's that point that you've got to see yourself as being the best driver in the world. This confuses people. It's not being deluded. It's a standard that you hold yourself to. So you ask yourself every single day right at the start, if I was to be the best driver in the world, what would be my actions today? How would I view the world? What would my work ethic be like? That's the big one. And I want to ask you that now. If you had a standard of I'm going to be the best driver, I am the best driver in the world, and that's my goal as well, to be the absolute best driver in the world, what would my actions be today? It allows you to get out of your own skin to overcome all the excuses and the stories that you can fall for, all these hurdles that you've got. Maybe you're from a country where racing isn't good enough. There is no racing. Maybe you've never raced before. Maybe you've been racing for 3 years and you've never won. So you've got all this baggage that you claim and all these reasons why you can't do racing. That kind of mindset, when you're sort of focused on the things that why you're not getting what you want, and maybe I'm not good enough and I'm worried about what people think. If you fall for that kind of thing, you're never going to make it. But if you have like a bar of expectation every single day of I'm going to be the best driver in the world today, what would the best driver in the world do? What would Michael Schumacher do back in his heyday? What would Ayrton Senna do today to make himself better? If you have that kind of benchmark and that standard and you live up to that every single day, that is what's going to help you become the best driver in the world. Or at least, even if you fall short, you'll be a pretty damn good one. Having big goals, shooting for big goals and only getting halfway towards them is still a very happy life. And that's what we did over the 11 days. Actually, over the whole season, it's like I approach every single race weekend thinking this very same way. How can I make this driver the best driver in the world? Well, I can see they're not very good at people skills. I can see they're not very intelligent. I can see they're not very good at delivering on demand, you know, performing under pressure. So they're qualifying. So that's what I'm going to attack, because if they want to be the best driver in the world, they better be good in qualifying. They better lead the team. And that's really what I look at a driver like. And that's what I get my drivers that I work one-to-one with to think as well. It's not how do I incrementally get better with measurable goals that I can see and they're specific. No, it's I'm going to be the best I can be. So I get to the end of every single day absolutely spent. A bit like I am now, a bit like Ollie is now, a bit like Jamie, who's the guy who helps us, who travels with Ollie and helps him out, a bit like he is now. We are spent. We're drained because we gave every single ounce we could. And if you win as much as Ollie has this year and as much as even other drivers I've had in the past, so I'm not just blowing up smoke of Ollie's back end, it's also you have got to approach life that way. You've got to be absolutely drained at the end of every single day. So you work. You look after your nutrition. You look after your fitness. You make sure you've got energy. But at the end, you're dead. You get to the 10 o'clock at night and you sleep well because you've done everything you could in your power in that day. And your energy levels are at zero. Just like, can't find it, but just like your iPhone. If you've used it a lot, you've used it to the max, no matter what it's using it for, if it's dead at the end of the day, it's spent. You got to be the same. No matter what you do at life, if you've got a goal and you're not using all of your battery or every single day, your internal energy, you got to think to yourself, how could I have done more? How many more people could I have approached? What could I have done that would be just a little bit better and more efficient towards my goal? And you do it the next day. So that's all I want to take from this, these 11 days, because we're all knackered and we all got back and we were quite emotional as well. You know, we had lots of photos and good times over the last two nights after the championships and realized just how hard and tough this was and what we had to do to make this happen. But that's the kind of thing that's wrapped up in over a season. I want you to wrap that up in over a day. So tomorrow when you wake up, you look at your day and it's a blank page, right? You get a blank page. A bit like if you're on the podcast, sorry, and you're listening to this, you're not watching it. You get a blank page like this. And it says something like Tuesday. And at the bottom, it's got like the world's greatest driver, just to remind you. So they got the world's greatest driver. How can you fill the white space with the kind of jobs that will force you to move forward, that will cause you to fail, that will be embarrassing sometimes if you call someone up and they say no? But how can you fill that white space there on Tuesday towards being the best driver in the world? So you do these jobs. Even if you've got school for some of the day or a job, this part here in the evening, how can you maximize it in a way where you've got a standard of I want to be the best in the world. No one will outwork me. How can you do that? And I want you to answer that question and not only answer it and write it down, but execute on it. And if you do that long enough, magically, you get a bit of luck. Magically, you start to advance your career. You become this race driver that you want to become. And it really is all about that. And this whole video is to talk to you and to communicate to you that you can create nearly anything you want in this world. Okay, if you're like 40 years old and you're dreaming of F1, you haven't ever raced a car, it's a bit far-fetched, but maybe there's something else you can do in F1. But there's always something. But if you hold yourself to a standard that is stupidly high, like being the best in the world at whatever you do, it's amazing how that job list, that white space on the blank page, the jobs change. It's not just about doing enough. It's not calling two or three people and maybe they'll give you something. No, it's calling 20 with something that offers them value. So if you're looking for sponsorship, you say, right, if I go to a company, I extract what it is they want. What is the thing that this company wants? And it's going to be marketing or it's going to be they want more clients. Them two things are joined, obviously. They're related. So how can I give them that at a price they can afford and within motorsport? And as a side benefit, because the money I'm earning from it, I'll go racing. And you just start your day with that if you're looking for sponsorship. Or if you're going for a championship, you hold yourself accountable for, I'm going to be the best driver on the grid, the best driver in the world. As if Lewis Hamilton or Michael Schumacher or Verstappen or Senna or Fangio were the person that was running this show. What would they do in my position? Always ask yourself that. What would somebody who you see as being the ultimate driver, but you want to be even better than, do in your position? Asking these kinds of questions will give you better answers, better actions, better results, and a better career. The quality of your questions that you ask yourself on a second, minute, hourly basis direct your answers and your life direction. I want you to remember this. It's not questions like, what if I fail? What if I'm not good enough? What will people think? Because then questions just take you down a road where you're going to stutter. You're going to stop. You're going to have a terrible to-do list. But if you come up with questions like, what could I do today? The maximum. What would so-and-so do in my position? And wear their armor, wear their, like, what would they be? You walk like them throughout the day and say, right, this is what I'm going to do. And this is all about you taking action, right? It's you getting the right mindset and the right perspective and the right standard. So you take the actions that you need to take in order to get the outcome that you've got in your mind. Because the only person stopping you is you. The person in the mirror is the only person that's standing in your way. So this is what I want you to take from today, because if you just do this for 2 weeks, right? 2 weeks of getting to the end of the day, absolutely spent. You can't even do one more thing. You're knackered, but you look back and say, oh, I gave it everything. And I took actions that actually got me closer. I tell you what, after 2 weeks, not only will you be addicted to this mindset, but you'll start to make gains. That's what this is all about. You can apply this to anything, your relationships, your career in something completely different, your racing, any sport. But you've got to have a high standard of what you expect from yourself, and you've got to execute every single day. Get to the end of the day, be knackered, but be fulfilled. Do this, there'll be no stopping you. I hope this helps. See you next time.